She talks as if she knows a hell of a lot.
You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with Ro. She's an absurdly talented musician from one of the best places in the world, Northern fucking Ireland, Derry to be specific. One of my closest friends, Kira McMullen, has taken photos of her for years, and from there I checked out the music, and I was instantly blown away and knew I had to talk to her about her music, which is how this talk was born. On this episode, we go into the infectious songs Ro has released, how talented she is as a multi-instrumentalist, the wildness of her 2019, which saw her touring with Snow Patrol and playing at London's Hyde Park, and much more. This is the 405 Exchange with Ro. Enjoy. Just how she looks in accordance. Fake life to get the attention, but nobody mentioned the sore face. She tells you that we should support all the women around us forever. No love when she gets to the top, everything will come out just to bite you. So I'll set the stage for a bit for some people. Some listening might not know that Northern Ireland is like a bit of a second home for me. And my oldest friend there is your tour photographer, Kira. She put me onto your music a couple months ago, and when she did, I knew I would have to talk to you about it. So that's how we're here.
No way. Kira is amazing. She's like my number one.
That's amazing. How did you and Kira meet? I actually don't think I know.
We met through me doing a few gigs down in Belfast. I think I was doing a kind of panel on mental health and stuff like that, and she was down at it. And she'd shot some of my gigs before, but it was then that we kind of asked her if she wanted to go and do this Snow Patrol tour with us in the UK, and she said yeah, and ever since then we've just got on like a house on fire. Like, she's one of my best mates and also part of the team, which is crazy and amazing for me, you know. But yeah
that's amazing. What I love so much about how she photographs you is I think she does a really good job at capturing like the spirit of you. Like, anytime I see a photo of like a gig or even you just hanging about, it makes me feel like I'm there.
Yeah, she's I love the way that she takes photographs, because she does all the backstage stuff and everything building up to the being on the stage, and I love that kind of intimate photography, you know.
Yeah, I feel like it's super useful for you as well, because something I've been seeing a lot over the years is like musicians kind of you know, just taking advantage of the fact that with cell phones you could do it so easily. But I think the benefit of having a photographer is like it allows you as an artist to be in the moment more. Like,
yeah, definitely. It's been a weight off my shoulders having Kira kind of do all the content for me, you know. And she's a star and she's amazing at it, and I know that I can trust her doing that because she understands the vibe that I want to give off online and with my content. So yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, so it's always helpful to go back to the beginning. So when did music enter your life?
Music entered my life at a really young age. My dad used to took me to a lot of big arena concerts whenever I was younger, going to see like U2 and Gloria Estefan and Westlife and people like that. So I was always kind of around music, and music's always playing in our house. But I only started playing music at the end of primary school. I started doing cello, gave it up, started doing piano lessons, and then cello again through grades and stuff like that. And it wasn't until I was going on to decide whether to do, I don't know what the equivalent is in America, but A-levels.
For people listening who don't know, that's kind of like year of rap stuff. Like, we have something called the SATs that aren't required, but I would say that's almost like the nearest equivalent in a weird way.
Yeah. So, like, I was going on to decide what my A-levels would be, and couldn't really think of anything that I was so wrapped up in until I thought about doing music as a career. And that was kind of the starting point of me actually taking it seriously and actually realizing that it was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah, did you find that with the like the way you would approach writing and recording? Do you feel like from a personal level that shifted when you realized that you wanted it to be like the focal point of your life?
Yeah. Like it was a bit scary because music is one of those things that people perceive to be a career that isn't really reliable or sustainable. So whenever it came to like telling my parents and telling my school that I didn't want to do something completely academic, it was terrifying. But my family were completely on board with it, and I just went off to do music in college, and it was the best decision that I've ever made, you know. And it's made me fall even deeper in love with music, you know, being able to do it for a career.
Yeah, that's amazing. Something I felt really fortunate with, something that has made me feel very fortunate being around musicians the last couple of years, is that there's kind of a bit of, I feel like, a stark contrast between what people perceive to be the case and what ends up being the reality. And that, like, when you do see how people tour and you see how people set up, like, you know, like TV performances, or like, you know, like when you get to see the apparatus behind music and that, there is a lot of practicalities that can go into it, which is wild to me.
Yeah, definitely. Like there's a lot of thinking behind it. It's never just about the music. It is about the practicalities and working out how we're going to get from A to B and how we're going to do shows across the water and all the PR side of it and everything. I think it's a lot more complicated these days because of things like social media, because beforehand you didn't really have to think about that. But I've kind of grown up in an age where social media is the be and end all for a lot of artists, and it's kind of intertwined with music, which is great but also a little bit sad, I think.
Yeah, could you go into that a bit more? Like, is that something that you find to be strange sometimes, like how intertwined social media can be with that?
Yeah, because it's great because you have that kind of platform to reach out to fans and be more connected in that way, but also you kind of have a need to put yourself across in a certain way, kind of giving the best of yourself rather than the whole picture. And then it's also a bit weird thinking that you're putting stuff online for loads and loads of people to see, and they kind of think that they know you from that, where I don't know, it's a really strange thing to me. Like I'm really bad at social media, you know. Like I get stressed out and I get anxious about it because it's such a big part of my life being a musician, you know. But it's one of those weird things that you kind of have to do.
No,
I think.
Yeah, I totally get that. Sorry not to step on you there.
No.
No, I guess the thing I was thinking just now was, like, I would imagine part of that, though, is because there's, like, that kind of balancing act with the music or the social media where you could say in regards to yourself that you feel like you're bad with your social media. Maybe the correlation is that you feel like there's so much you have so much focus towards your actual music. Like,
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that, because I love music and I love the shows and I love interacting with my audience in that kind of intimate way, I feel like social media is a great platform to do that. But it's just all the other stuff that comes with it that's a bit hard sometimes.
Yeah, I totally get that. You know, one of the things I was keen on exploring with you is that when I was reading up on you, one of the words that came across a lot in regards to your music was the word empathy. Like, a lot of people seem to feel like your music evokes a strong sense of empathy towards people in general. I wonder if that's something that resonates with you, and if so, why is empathy important to you?
Yeah, I think it is extremely important to me, and the way that I write. Like, I've grown up listening to songwriters like Joni Mitchell and Bob Dylan, who are unbelievable songwriters, but also storytellers. And for me, when I started writing, still to this day, it's a way of me expressing my feelings and kind of putting out the negative energy most of the time that I can't really express to people on like a like chatting to them, you know. I can't express it like that, so it's a way of me getting out all of those feelings on their page without having to chat to people. And I feel like through all of my shows, I've learned that audiences are really, really empathetic, you know. They listen to the lyrics way more than I thought that they would, and they have their own stories that they kind of associate with the songs that I write, which is something kind of magical, I think, about writing songs, you know.
Yeah, I think that's amazing too. How does that make you feel as a musician though? Because I always think that has to be a pretty wild thing when you create a song and you put it out into the world and it has this sense of intention and people actually understand it. Like, how does that make you feel?
I think it's crazy. Like, you know, I write songs for myself, you know, like nobody else. I write them because it's a way of getting these feelings out, but knowing that people relate to them in that way is just insane to me, but also kind of, it's really cool, you know. It's really cool to have this human connection that if I hadn't wrote those songs, we wouldn't have, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, about the music, there's a chance we barely even had the chance to talk, so that's something to be grateful for as well.
Yeah, completely.
The first tune of yours I heard was Playground Fights. To me, that's a prime example of a tune coming from a very real place. What's the story behind how you wrote this one?
I wrote that about a kind of bad relationship. I was really young at the time, and it was way too intense. And I only realized that after we broke up. Playground Fights is kind of my step into, I'd written songs before that, but this was the song that kind of made me start thinking about music in a different way. I wrote it and I was really proud of it, and it was the song that made me think that maybe I could actually write songs for a living and perform for a living, you know?
Yeah, what was it about the song that felt very different to you?
It was very emotional, you know. All my cards were on the table in terms of the lyrics, and I hadn't really done that before. Like, I was used to writing maybe, like, kind of held, I was used to writing in a held back way where I didn't really write about what I wanted to write about, but Playground Fights was the first song that I just kind of let go and wrote exactly what I wanted to write. Yeah,
that definitely comes across, and also the video is also really great as well. I always think it's amazing when you're able to in like video form, when you're able to capture kids being kids. Like, I think that's what that video kind of does in a very interesting way.
Yeah, it was really cool to work on that, actually, because it was the first video where I wasn't really in it, you know. And it was cool to work with kid actors, and I had a whole, it was a local crew doing it, so it was really nice to make those connections as well. But yeah, it was the music video for that was something that I don't know, I didn't, because I'd written it and I'd wrote it about being so young, I felt like it had to be a younger generation than even me, being the main focal point in it, you know?
Yeah. What is it like for you when you get to see your art stand alongside a medium like that? Because obviously, you know, you'll have these ideas for videos and like a hope and, you know, planning, but to actually see the finished product and know that your music can work alongside something like that, like, that must be pretty wild. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love the musical side of it, and I love visuals as well, but I am so bad at creating visuals. Like, I my brain doesn't work in that way, so being able to work with people that could kind of put a vision in front of me as a video, like, that was just something really surreal, and really, really cool.
I think it's brilliant that you have an awareness to that, because kind of going back to the social media thing you were talking about, I think one of the weird pervasive things about it is that in a weird way, social media kind of forces people to encompass things that they may not feel comfortable with. Like, it's kind of like you have to be like a //, like a producer, director, / like all these things. And it's like, I think there's something beautiful and you can focus on one thing sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I myself, I love being, what's the word? Oh my God, my head's just gone blank. An unsigned artist. Oh my God, I can't believe I just forgot the word for that. yeah, but like, I love having that kind of control with that sense of things. But I know myself that there are people with other talents and other crafts that I love working alongside, like Kira and like Paul Brown, who did the Playground Fights video, and Sean Mullen, who did the Down Days video. You know, like, I love connecting with people as well as keeping control of my music, you know?
Yeah, I completely get that. I feel like what I've always garnered from those types of situations is that, like, the beauty is that you get people who offer a perspective that you could never have arrived to. I think that's like the big kind of achievement when you get to collaborate with people.
Yeah, completely. And it's magic. It's just like, it makes you feel more creative as well, working with these people, you know, and you kind of look at things in different ways. It's class.
Yeah. I want to next ask about Wasted, Patient, Pending. I feel good that I got that right. Yeah, Wasted, Patient, Pending. It feels like a track that was like a creative revelation for you. Musically, there's a lot going on here, and I'd love to hear how you wrapped your head around this one, because for some people who might not know, there'll be an intro to this, but I'll just like to say it here. You're also quite a keen multi-instrumentalist, and this track's a prime example of that.
Yeah, Waste of Patient Thinking was a really fun one for me. It was also written about a relationship, but I wanted to do something completely different with that track, and having the little rap bits in it, that felt like something completely new, and it was completely different genre and side of me that I didn't even know that was there, you know. And it was just a lot of fun to create. All the tracks that I come up with, it's my producer and manager, Liam Craig. Like, he produces everything and I write everything, and then we kind of go through everything together. But it's a completely in-house job. And with this song, we just wanted to have a lot of fun with it and put in loads of fuzzy guitars and have me doing loads on stage, you know. Like, it was just like a kind of revelation moment in myself as a performer, I think. Yeah.
That's an amazing thing. And another track I was keen to ask you about, like, I honestly bet that your song Down Days is quite a showstopper. Like, honestly, what a song.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Do you remember how you felt after you listened to the finished song for the first time?
I think I cried. Whenever I listened to the song in its entirety with all the production and everything, I think, like, I cried a lot writing the song, so whenever I heard the finished product, it was like a moment of silence, I think. Yeah,
because from listening to the song, it was clear to me that there it must have been quite a journey to finish it. Like, it must have been quite a thing to have the initial idea and to actually build on top of it.
I myself have a lot of like mental health problems and anxiety, and I feel like this song was my way of kind of helping myself. I always tell the story about it on stage because I feel like it's a very important one to share with the audience, you know. I was having a really rough day and a really rough time of it, and I couldn't really talk to anybody. I was anxious and frustrated and angry, and I couldn't really explain to anybody why I was like this. So I completely isolated myself and just sat down me and a guitar and a notebook and just started writing about why I might feel like this, and realizing that even me feeling like this, it's an okay thing, you know, like it's, everybody gets like this and it's fine and you can get through it, you know. And I feel like it was a really hard song to write, but I'm so glad that I wrote it, even for myself.
No, it's so important to do that. And like, I feel like I should add some context for people who might not be familiar with like Northern Ireland. It's like, with where the country is now in terms of people talking about mental health and like being open about it, it's weirdly still a new thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's people aren't open enough about it. And Derry itself, where I live, is really bad at the minute for it, you know, like it has one of the highest suicide rates in the UK, and it's devastating. But yeah, it's a really tough thing to talk about here. So
I didn't know that about Derry. Wow.
Yeah, it's a very sad fact.
I was there back in October for the first time, actually. Like, I've been to Belfast and other parts of Northern Ireland loads, but I went to Derry for the first time last October. Yeah. It's beautiful.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing at Halloween as well. Like, it's so... The place is just buzzing with excitement.
I can imagine. I forget the name of it, but I remember one of the things that stuck out to me was a bridge in Derry, particularly. A really beautiful bridge.
Oh yeah, the Peace Bridge. That's only a recent like addition to it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of a kind place.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed your time here.
Oh yeah, I reckon I'll definitely come back sometime. I love Northern Ireland. Like I started going there regularly, like I can't even remember how long ago it was, but it's one of those things where I feel very fortunate that with a lot of the traveling that I've done in my life, like Northern Ireland's the place that's made me feel the most welcome. Like, something about the people, I don't know what it is, but like I always feel like it feels like home when I'm there.
Amazing. Yeah, I feel like Northern Ireland has that beauty about it. Like, I feel like we're even myself, like I feel like we're very welcoming people, and it's like I still live at home, and that's one of the reasons why I still live at home, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure it also helps with the touring bit as well, so that way you're not, like, paying awful rent for a place you're barely staying at.
Oh my god, yes.
A few months back, you released a new single called Girls, and it's incredible to me how you were able to make a song that's so unapologetically pop, but still has so much of your personality coming through it. Was this a challenging song to arrive at?
Actually, this was one of those songs that kind of came very naturally. I think I got back from, I think it was the Snow Patrol tour, and I wrote this song straight away. Like, I just sat down with the guitar and it came out in like an hour or two, and it was the first time that that's ever happened to me, that the song has just come and clicked straight away.
Well, that's something else. And also, it has a pretty cool video to it as well.
Yeah, thank you. It was a bit scary for me, because the video is basically me being all dolled up with loads and loads of makeup on, and then it being taken all off again. And if anybody knows me, like I don't really wear makeup at all, so it was scary being a part of that.
I was going to say, because just like from everything I've seen of you prior, when I saw that video, I was like, this doesn't seem like something she would do.
Yeah, it kind of scares me, like whenever the image for it comes up sometimes, because it doesn't look like me at all.
You recently wrapped up a European tour. How was that for you?
It was amazing. Yeah, it was class. Yeah, it's really nice being able to play to like new audiences and new people, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's kind of amazing that you're at that stage where that happens now. I mean, and you know, naturally with like things like social media and just like, you know, how the world is today, it must be pretty wild to do a tour like that and have people's reactions being so immediate.
Yeah, it's it's class. Like, I never expect anything whenever I go to a new country, but it's always a nice surprise whenever you get there and people already know some of your songs. I think it's just one of those incredible things, and I don't think I'll ever get over things like that. Yeah.
Was there a country that particularly stood out to you?
Germany. Germany is one of my favorite countries to play, because the people are so nice and the audiences are always up for a laugh and always up for, like, being involved, you know. It's one of my favorite countries to go.
Yeah, and from what I've heard over the years with Germany, I've been there a couple of times, but I've never been there for, like, a show. But I've heard that German people really find themselves taking music quite seriously, and that if they are going to a show, it is a thing of, like, listening and paying attention and taking it in.
Yeah, definitely. They're one of those audiences that come, if you say come and see the support act, they will come from doors open, you know, like they're very serious in that way. And they're so passionate about it as well. It's great to see, you know.
It's really important. And we've talked about it a couple of times, but it'd be good to delve into it a bit deeper. One of the wild things that you got to do this year was tour with Snow Patrol. That must have been such an incredible experience.
Yeah, that was the most surreal thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard stories about how generous Gary Lightbody and the guys are, especially when it comes to, like, homegrown talent and things like that. But can you go into just, like, what it was like for you to, like, get that call and then to actually do it? Because you also got to play the O2 of them, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah, like, it was one of those things that you don't expect to come through. Like, we got an email through asking if we would like to support them on this arena tour, and obviously we said yes. Hell yes. But yeah, we got there and I was so nervous. We had one show in Newcastle, and then there was a few weeks between that and the rest of the shows. So that was kind of like a, not like a warm up, but like a kind of introduction to playing those big arenas. And we got there and immediately just felt right at home, because the Snow Patrol guys and Gary, they're all so lovely, and they want to take care of you, and they want to make sure that you're doing all right, even if you just want a cup of tea. And they come in and just be all, do you need anything? And their crew is just the best as well. Like, that was such a fun experience for me, and the nerves didn't matter anymore, because it felt like I was just on tour with my family, you know. And getting up on stage every night and playing to that amount of people was just, it was crazy, but it was one of those things you got used to really fast. Like, I don't know, it just, because their audience is so welcoming as well, it was really nice just talking to them as if I was talking to, like, 60 people, you know, and they were completely up for it. Yeah, it was an amazing experience, and the Snow Patrol guys are just complete dotes. Yeah.
What was it like for you to know, to experience the fact that your songs can exist and work in rooms of that size? Because, I mean, obviously you have that hope and that idea, but to actually, like, live it, like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, it's mad. It's just one of those things you kind of dream about and never think will actually ever happen. It's a completely different world from the shows that I do normally, you know. Like, Snow Patrol will do this every night to thousands and thousands of people, and that's such a mad thing for somebody like me who plays to maybe 100 people a night, and to get up there and be welcomed by these thousands and thousands of people every night was just the loveliest thing in the world, you know. Like, the last night, I think I might have teared up a little bit on stage, because they were so overwhelming and so lovely, and it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you also got to play Hyde Park in support of Robbie Williams back in July. Another big fucking milestone. Holy shit.
That was insane. That was really fun, actually. So we got there, and I played, and that was class. But I think the weirdest, but I don't know, the really fun part about it was that I thought we were gonna get there and be in like our own backstage, because it was the second stage that I was playing. But we got there and I had like a trailer between Texas and Feeder and Keane, and Robbie Williams was just walking about backstage with his daughter, and I couldn't really believe that I was actually there.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And that must have just felt like a great day, because I imagine this is one of like the British summertime Hyde Park gigs, right?
Yeah.
So for people listening who might not be familiar, those type of shows are essentially like, I mean, there's like a big prime headliner, but it's much more of like a day festival than a gig. So you got to pretty much exist within like essentially like this small little musical world, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah. It was one of those things that like I was just walking around backstage alongside all of these like really, really big artists, and I didn't really know what to do with myself. Like, how do you act cool in that situation, you know?
That's really something else. You know, we've talked a lot about like how, you know, naturally you've gone through some of the big moments of the year that you've had, but I'm curious, what's a favorite moment of yours that sticks out to you? And it could even be a small moment or even something personal, but like I think it's safe to say 2019 has been a very memorable year for you, and I just wonder what really sticks out to you.
Yeah, it definitely has. I think one of my standout moments was my headline show a few months ago down in Dublin. Sold out upstairs in Weenans, and the audience was just electric. Like, they were singing back my lyrics and dancing, and I don't know, there was just something really, really magical about that, and being able to be there as a headline and have people sing back your songs is just, it's just one of those milestones that just, I don't know, it's just completely unbelievable to me.
That really is something else. And honestly, like, Whelan's is a very like one-of-a-kind type of room. Like, it really is something amazing.
Yeah, it's class. Like, I'm playing there again in February, but doing the bigger room this time, and I'm so, so excited for it because of that last experience, you know?
Oh, that's incredible. Man, that Dublin is such a great city as well. Like that's awesome.
Yeah, it's class. Like, it's where, whenever I play in Ireland, like, I think the majority of my gigs have been done in Dublin, and the audience there is just like incredible, you know.
Yeah, have you ever done a gig with Pillow Queens? I feel like that would be a really good bill.
Yes, and I heard that you met them recently as well.
Yeah, it's actually a really funny story. Back in 2015, I was in Northern Ireland and Dublin, and I have a friend named Roof, and it was like right before Christmas time, and I was having a night out at Whelan's. And I bumped into Sarah of Pillow Queens. That was my first time meeting her. So then,
cool.
Yeah. We like danced a lot that night. Like, she's like a fucking laugh. And then fast forward to like 2019, just a couple, like, well, last week actually. And they're here for the first time. We got to link up again. And it was my first time meeting the whole band, but they played their first gig and it was smashing. It was really great.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm playing Iceland Airways with them soon as well. But we've kind of passed each other in like the festival circuit this summer and last summer. But yeah, they're great. They're so good.
That's amazing. Yeah, I feel like with your music and just like the things that you're both about, I could see you lot getting along really well.
Yeah, definitely. They're really, really cool, and I'm really excited to go out to Iceland with them as well. And Kira, I think it's just gonna be great,
Greg. Oh, that's gonna be amazing. Before I let you go here, tell me, what are some of the things that'll be happening in 2020 that you're looking forward to? I mean, it's kind of wild that like the year is about to end, but naturally there must be so many things on the pipeline. Like, What are you going to be doing next year that you're keen for?
Yeah, so I'm planning on a big release that I can't say much about at the minute. but that's happening early on in the year, and then I'm probably going to do a European tour as well as a UK tour. Maybe some more support tours. It's going to be a busy one, I'm sure.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be more busy than this year was, which is kind of wild to even think about.
Yeah, I'm so buzzing for it. I'm so ready.
Well, that's amazing. Well, Ro, thanks so much for chatting with me today. It makes me happy to know there's people listening who might not know your music, and they're going to go check it out out of curiosity after hearing this. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend that. And, yeah, Ro, thanks for chatting with me today.
Thank you so much. Cheers.
Yeah. I don't believe in men.